This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We are continuing our look at discipleship, not the easy and unchallenging life most indulge in, but the real cost. We must first count the cost.
Oh yes, Dennis, we must count what this life and discipleship will cost. Sharon's reading is from the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we must fully understand what abiding in Christ will cost. Oh, yes, this is important.
Great multitudes now followed him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a watchtower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether or not he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all those who see it will begin to mock him, saying, 'He began to build and could not finish.' Or what king, going against another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the land nor for the dunghill. Men throw it away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Thank you, Sharon, very much. The passage that Sharon has read is our Lord's own words concerning what are the demands upon those who would be his disciples. Jesus has, with the 12, slowly been making his way southward towards Jerusalem. At this point, a large crowd has joined them, clearly Jewish pilgrims, also making their annual trek to the city for the Passover feast. Among the large multitude, that is how Luke describes them, there are those that are interested, surely some even expressing a desire to join this small band as another disciple. At some point, Jesus turns to the throng and says, "If anyone comes to me," and then proceeds to say some very hard and difficult things. It is surely not seeker-sensitive, designed to entice those on the edge, or to persuade one that following Jesus is the most perfect and enjoyable life ever. His words are often jarring to our ears, which are more accustomed to the soft words of entreaty and welcome. And then we discover that these difficult words and requirements are such that if not met, one cannot be his disciple, a phrase he will use 3 times in these just few verses. Clearly his message is that to come unto him, to follow him, to be a disciple, is not complete ease, comfort, or all pleasantries. This is a message that is obviously glossed over or outright ignored in many of our Sunday gatherings. I understand fully. No one likes to hear the hard side, the challenges, and yes, the real demands of discipleship. Our world, what we now reside amidst, is not a world that embraces such words. So what do we make of these words of Jesus? I hope we will come to a deeper appreciation of just what he has called us to and why we should desire to come to him at all. We, those of us in North America and much of Europe, are singularly blessed. Our ancestors, those who came before, their struggles, suffering, often they paid dearly for just our right to be undisturbed, no longer harassed or persecuted for our faith. We are pretty much unmolested about which church we should attend, or even whether we attend a church at all. This has not always been the case, as just a cursory glance at history will attest, nor is it the experience of many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord in much of our world today. The burning of churches, jailing of pastors, even martyrdom is far too common. It should cause us, at least, to pause in our ease and comfort as we go to church this day and give thanks for the sacrifice of those who have made this all possible, giving of their time, fortune, and lives for our freedom to worship as we desire. But this is not exactly our Lord's purpose in this narrative. It's about one's desire to follow him. Are these the actual demands Jesus requires of his disciples? Or is it more hyperbole, a purposeful exaggeration to cause us all to consider whether we are really prepared to be a disciple? Are these words actually what Jesus meant to convey? So much linguistic and scholarly effort has already been spent to redefine the word hate that he uses here. Some have so watered down the meaning that it is reduced to a point of meaninglessness. But the word is hate, and it is the same word used to describe God's feeling of hating all workers of iniquity, and related by the psalmist as, "I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cleave to me. Perverseness of the heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil." We should at least see our Lord's call to hate within this spiritual context of God's calling, of God's desire and his reaction to all that would hinder, obstruct, or dismiss his redemptive purpose in and through us. The real difficulty is not in our Lord's use of the verb to hate, but the object of that hate. It is one's own father, mother, wife, children, and brothers and sisters. It is true, more so then than now, that such loyalty to family was expected and demanded. In the ancient Mediterranean world, this was uppermost, and to not do so was a great dishonor. A son or daughter's esteem and faithfulness to their parents, especially their father, was considered sacred. And always in every age, one's faithfulness and concern for wife and one's own children is the rock, the foundation of any society. So what is Jesus saying? He is using startling language to drive home a very hard point. Following Christ, being a disciple, will be difficult. It will require a fidelity, a dedication, or as Jesus has said earlier, we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Or as we need to understand these words, we are to seek primarily this kingdom of God with a singleness of purpose. Discipleship, following him, which is, believe me, what is meant by the kingdom of God and what is meant by being a Christian, this is not a lark, a pleasantry that one can try out for a while to see if you like it, an undertaking to simply discover what's in it for me. It is never about what do I get out of this church thing, about being or believing in Christ Jesus. That is why these words, if you don't hate, disavow all that would obstruct your dedication, your desire for God's purpose, His working in and through your life, one cannot simply be a disciple. Jesus would even say this involves even more than one's own life. This does not mean self-abhorrence, for we are to love others as we love ourselves. This is again about primacy and having our eyes wide open to the challenges and, yes, dangers of being a Christian. We are to be willing to bear our cross and come after Him, or we cannot be His disciples. Such an image of bearing the crossbeam to the place of execution had become already a figure of speech in the Eastern Mediterranean. As such, a sight of a man or several men being forced to carry the very means of their death were all too common, especially in this part of the Roman Empire. And Jesus surely knew, as a prophet would, how likely a death it would be for him. The statement is again extreme, but highlights the truth he would bring to those who now travel this road to Jerusalem and who are considering a more full or to completely follow him. And to make his point more indelible, Jesus again shares two brief parables. Both make the point of considering the cost before commitment, be it to build a watchtower for your vineyard, orchard, or ripening harvest, to provide protection from poachers and thieves, or a king facing war. You first sit down, weigh the cost and the downside. Consider the possibilities before you commit. In building anything, a house, an addition, re-landscaping, you weigh whether you have the funds necessary. You don't start and run out of funds and have a half-built house or an addition begun and find you can't finish it. You don't commit to war if you figure you can't win. Instead, you would sue for peace. This is about weighing the cost, the obligation, the commitment when one thinks of following Christ. Discipleship is about building in us something grand while eliminating what is outside us and is hostile to what we can be in Him. Discipleship is to build in us faith and a new life. We are, in a sense, to build as disciples a grand watchtower. But this we are unable to do in our own strength. We are never able to get beyond an outward profession of faith, just the beginnings. It is His grace, for it is about His building in us something grand, a faith, a new life. In the natural as well in our own strength, one would have to accept terms imposed by the enemy. Left to our own devices, we cannot fight the devil. We face surrender or fight and face defeat. And such a conflict is inevitable when we choose to follow Christ. One can avoid this battle only by remaining subservient to the devil. But Jesus wants disciples unto Him, and conflict will follow. So He warns us not to enter into this commitment of discipleship in our own inadequate strength. We would be doomed. Therefore, all of us, everyone, is to renounce all that he has, all their possessions. Otherwise, they cannot be a disciple. Jesus is not referring only to wealth and property. That is just too simple. It is literally everything. Everything that one has in and of themselves, because no matter our own personal strength or abilities, no matter how strong or great we think we are, we will never get beyond the mere foundation of the watchtower, beyond 10,000 against 20,000. We are to come empty of everything, especially ourselves, so that we can be disciples. It is then that He can fill us with His possessions, and the watchtower can be built, and every engagement with the enemy won. As with salvation, discipleship is that kind of great thing that nothing in and of ourselves can secure for us. It is, as with all things, by God's grace, His enablements. That is why we are called upon to renounce, abandon all that is of our own. It is not what we have, not our strength, abilities, or learning. All is put aside, for it is all in Him. At this point, Jesus relates His closing argument. He has used the figure of salt frequently, each time different, as it has been used by different cultures and in many ways. Much too much has been made of the fact that salt cannot lose its saltness. But that begs the question and misses his point. It is the very impossibility of such that is Jesus' point. Remember, this is all about counting the cost of discipleship. As with salt, so it is with being his disciple. To focus your love on him, to bear your cross no matter the cost, to actually build the watchtower, to assert victory over every foe, and in doing all of this by renouncing all the things of self, our own worth, as we would measure it by the world's standard, are ultimately without value. Indeed, the standards of the world are useless. So what if this salt, a disciple, should turn insipid? What if one should turn back to the old loves, refuse to bear that cross, face the torment, turn tail in the face of the enemy, or actually trust in one's own strength and abilities? Such is actually just as unnatural, as impossible, as salt losing its saltness. Or in this case, is it? If such were to occur, with what can we be seasoned? Can you salt salt so as to restore its saltness? No, it is good for nothing, useless for anything, and can be only thrown away to be tread upon under one's feet. It is a sorry picture. So let he who has ears to hear, hear. Literally, let those who have ears for hearing, let them be hearing. This is a warning, a stark one, and why all of us, yes, even sinners, all have ears. Let the truth, the obvious calling of God to all the world, let it keep ringing, let it keep sounding, long after the words have been spoken. It is why so many revile and dismiss the call to discipleship. They know they exist drowning in a sea of sin, but prefer darkness. Yet the sound continues. They try to silence the sound, but cannot. And we are to continue that call. And that is why we must count the cost. To follow him will be costly. But the rewards, believe me, are out of this world. O Lord, let us never lose sight of the fact of the cost all of this was to yourself, and that, Lord, you have called upon us to continue your work in this world. And despite the fact that they revile and dismiss this call, Lord, we must raise our voice all the higher. You cannot still the sound of the truth, nor can you silence the words that have been proclaimed. And indeed, your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, all for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen and amen.
Following Christ, being a real disciple, is clearly not for the faint-hearted or the casual observer. This may not be what is often being presented as the life of being a Christian, but it should be. Our faith of being a Christian is actually not the kind of calling that requires little or no thought. We need to count the cost. That is why Thomas is offering his study titled, The Question of Discipleship. This study will surprise you and also challenge you. So we urge you to write to us and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, it is up to all of us who know of God's grace to see to it that all others will have the opportunity to learn about the good news of the gospel. Won't you do your part in a ministry that has been dedicated to this commission since 1942? And generous listeners have made it possible to bring God's word to millions of people and have changed countless lives. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V64N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Discipleship is not complicated, but a rather simple concept. If you follow Jesus, you're a disciple. Of course, it's more, and I hope you will ask for your free copy of The Question of Discipleship. It is why we pray and give thanksgiving, why we extend our help to the far corners of the world, doing our best to increase the number of disciples. Now, as we close, Dennis will give our addresses once more. But now Israel Houghton comes to perform this version of I Surrender All, and let us all count the cost and continue our race.
Sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is providing a copy of his book, The Question of Discipleship. This is an incredible, concise, and biblical look at what it means to be a disciple. This is a must-read, so do write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's study titled The Question of Discipleship.
It is yours at no charge. Our address is our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.